Path and a lamp on my feet. How can I sojourn without it? How can I make my journey through life in the absence of your light? David said, I am a stranger on the earth. Lord, take me through lectures on your commandment. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Lord, we give you praise. Lord will give you praise. Lord will give you praise. Lord will give you praise. Precious Lord, we ask that the wisdom that comes through your word will bring us direction, will bring us counsel. Let your influence be upon our hearts as your word comes. In the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. Can we get seated? We just came out from a strong season of intense prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a church, we just came out from intense moments of praying and fasting experience. And you see, if there is a time to pay attention to God, the more it is now. Why? Because I've always taught you that prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is supposed to be a dialogue. Prayer is not everything you say to God. Prayer is you say some things to God and God wants to say some things to you too. Are you hearing me right now? Your life will not change because of the things you told God. Your life will change because of the things that God told you or things God replied you because of what you told him. Are we together now? Are we together? That's why our lives will not be transformed because we are born again. Mba. Our lives will be transformed because our mind is being renewed. Are you hearing me right now? The transformation or the change of situation in our life will not happen because you are now born again. And not just because you are born again, but because you are born again. And as a born again believer, you have prayed. No. That is not what will bring the change. Scripture said that transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. Are we together now? Come on, are we together now? And I've constantly told you, if God promises you a great future and he is doing practically nothing on your mind, God is not serious about it. Amen. Come on, amen. If God promises you a great future and he's practically not doing anything about it, God is not serious about what he told you. When he met Abraham, the first thing God gave to Abraham was prophecy. I will make you into a great nation. He didn't say, I've made you into a great nation. I will do that. Are we together now? I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Yes, I'll be a blessing. After God was done saying all of that to Abraham, the next thing is, Ngwa, get out of your father's house. Let's begin the journey. The entire experience that transformed the life of Abraham were on the things that God was telling him on the process of time. Abraham needed a child. God promised Abraham a child from the time he met him. Telling him you're going to be the father of many nations was God told him. God was promising him a child from the moment he met him. But you see, God had to do a lot of work on his mind. Do you remember that on several occasions, Abraham was constantly reminding God, Lord, but you promised me a child. Do you remember? What was that called? It's called prayer. Abraham was making prayers to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, are we together? Abraham was constantly reminding God, Lord, but you promised me you're going to give me a child. God was telling him, giving you a child is not my problem. I can wake up tomorrow morning and you have a child. I can give you a child as never. That was why, if in the mind of Abraham, God, are you not checking time? Time is going. God is telling Abraham, I am not a person moved by time. I live in a realm I live in eternity. And I'm not moved by time. You are the one whose time is going. My time is not going. I can wake up tomorrow morning, you will have a child. But you see one thing that cannot just happen. I can't wake up tomorrow morning and your mind is better. Are you hearing me right now? I can't wake up and your mind is better. No. That's why the reason I'm not giving you a child is because there is a lot of work I'm doing in your mind. So that when the child enters your hand, you know what to do with this child. Are we together now? So we have been through an intense moments of prayer, intense moments of fasting and all that. We've said a lot of things to God. It is time for God to reply us back. And it is wisdom to stand upon your word and receive of the Lord. Lord, what is your counsel for my life? Listen. This church is one of the most intentional churches you will ever attend in your life, even after you graduate from school. The reason is because as we just stepped into the year, we are not just trying to make sure we engage in activities. We are deliberately trying to make sure that you have a productive year. That the things the Lord said to you eventually materialize in your life. Are you hearing me right now? Are you hearing me right now? If you are a young person, all our prayer, in fact, our agitation now is to have a good future. Our labor, our effort, my going to school, coming back, everything is to make sure I have a good future. But I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about growing up? How do you feel about growing up? You know, one time I had to sit down and ask myself some very important questions. Because if you are not careful, you will not be aware that time is already passing by. If you are not careful, you don't even know that you are growing. But the big question is, how do you feel about growing? How do you feel about the fact that this is another year? Another year has just entered and then this year will soon come and go. How do you feel about growing up? Some people feel excited about growing up. Some people feel very scared about growing up. Other set of persons feel very burdened about growing up. Me, I feel very burdened about growing up. Are you hearing me right now? Are you hearing me right now? In fact, there are two ways a young person should feel while growing up is scared and burdened. There are understand who are mindless about growing up. You know what I mean by mindless? They're just growing up and they don't know what's up. They're just there. Life is just, we're just going through the journey of life. They are very mindless about growing up. There are others who are scared about growing up. Every time Rebecca looked at Esau, Rebecca was always scared of what this boy was growing into. Rebecca was always scared. Very soon we will hand over the inheritance of Abraham to our first son in this family. But I am particularly scared. The first son we have, one who should have this inheritance, what is this young man growing into? If you've read your Bible very well, the Bible told us that Rebecca said to Isaac, please put the, as told Jacob rather, make sure you carry this venison and go and give to your father. So your father can eat the venison and bless you. But you know what the Bible says? Jacob told him, what if my father finds out and curses me? What was Rebecca's response? Let the curse be upon me. Do you know where that came from? Do you know where that came from? It was actually Abraham that called Rebecca by the side and spoke to Rebecca concerning the two children. After God spoke to them first, after God spoke to Rebecca first, two nations are in your womb. Listen carefully to me. Two nations are in your womb. The older will serve the younger. Is that correct? Now, the both of them began to grow, and Rebecca was watching them. But then, ordinarily, it is normal that the blessings have to rest upon the first son. So, Rebecca was being sentimental. Abraham called him by the side. This thing you will not see it in your Bible, but it's in Bible story, in Bible history. Abraham called Rebecca by the side and told him, "Have you not considered the life of these two young men? Growth is already happening. But you see, as they begin to grow now, we are scared of what Esau is growing into. Please do everything within your power to make sure that Jacob takes the blessing. All the curses that may come after it, I absorb it from you." Those were the exact words of Abraham to Rebecca. So now we saw why Rebecca was fighting tooth and nail. Why? Rebecca looked at Esau, and Rebecca cannot trust Esau with the blessing that is about to be rested upon him. The transitional blessing cannot be, as in, Esau cannot be trusted with it. Look at my point. Growth is happening. You wake up on a daily basis, the year is going, time is going, growth is happening, growth is coming upon us. Life is in such a way that there is a season in your life when somebody absorbs responsibility, you don't even care. When we are much younger than this, amen? When we are much younger than this, during Christmas, we are always angry that they have not bought Christmas clothes. Is that correct? Now, why we are angry they have not bought Christmas clothes? Somebody is somewhere worried that he has not bought Christmas clothes. That person is called your dad or your mom. You are not worried. You are only angry. Are we together? Why? You turn around and see one, two, or three persons who are what? Wearing their own Christmas clothes. So you get angry with parents. You get angry with your dad and mom. How come I don't have my own? Are we together now? But do you know the truth? Very soon, power will change hand. Your father will be out of the picture. You will be in the picture. Are we together now? Now, every time I remember that I will not always be dependent, as I will always be dependent on somebody, I will soon be dependent upon, I become more scared about growing up. I now begin to see the reason why I must be extremely intentional about growing up. So, as the year just enter like this, I just know I have every reason I must be intentional about another beautiful year like this. Because soon enough, power will change hands. Amen. There will be no parents to depend upon. You would rather be the parents that is dependent upon. Are we together now? Do you know a time is going to come in your life when your decisions will no longer be influenced by your parents? Your decisions will be made by you and by all the trainings you have received while you were growing up. You see what I want to do? I want to bring your attention to what is happening in your life on a daily basis. And I want to carefully remind you that your life is gradually metamorphosing into a season. Your life is actually growing into a point when you will begin to realize that being alive is not really too important. That is actually important to find that implication of being alive. Are you hearing me right now? See, there is something about being alive. Being alive has an implication. I've told you before. If you show up on earth and see the problem in this life, you can't run away. Are we together now? You can't say, nah, problems of life are too much. Mommy, how did you bring me here? I need to return back to where I'm coming from. I don't have strength. I cannot come and skin myself and run away. I cannot come and kill myself and die. Amen. So when you look at the issues of life and the things that life is going to demand from you, you can't escape it. You can't return back to your mother's womb. You are here is that you are here. If you now mistakenly decide, okay, this thing is too much, I can't bear, let me die by suicide, you go to hellfire. Are we together now? And it's even better. It's even better that you are not alive than to go to hellfire very early. If you go to F5, there's no problem. Don't go too early. Are you hearing me right now? Don't go to, because some people now are already going through their pains. You have not, you will not enter there in the name of Jesus. See, but if you die through suicide, you go there. So I want to show you that the day you dropped down here, your life has been implicated. There is no going back. And I've always reminded you, two things are before you. It's either you are up or you are down. It's either you succeed or you fail. Are we together now? You have already entered here. You have already entered here. There is no going back. You cannot escape. You can't run away. You are already here. The biggest desire of your heart is, how do I now make the best out of this life? Since I cannot escape, since I cannot run away, but I'm already here, how exactly do I make the most out of my life? Very soon, not too long from now, your parents will lift their hands over you, off you. But you see, the thing that we are not aware of is that we are not aware that independence is not supposed to be an event. Some of us, independence meets us suddenly. You just suddenly discover that you are now on your own. So you really never planned to be independent. You only discover that you are now on your own. It will not take you a lot of time to find your feet on the earth before you now balance and start carrying the weight of others. Are we together now? Somebody was previously carrying your weight. After a while, the person feel, no, you are becoming too heavy. The person left you. Even after you were left, you are not even aware that that time has come when you must now start carrying your weight and carry the weight of others. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I need you to get this clearly. It will not be long from now independence will happen. I mean, coming to that point, I've always taught us there are three levels of our lives. There is the season of your life called the dependency season of your life. That season of your life is God carefully, God intentionally. God intentionally made your life that way so that whatever your life is going to become will be a function of the people who handled you when you're much younger. But very soon, you're not supposed to live at that phase forever. You're supposed to cross that phase and enter the phase called independence. Are we together now? Come on, are we together now? After which, you now move into the phase called interdependence. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. It's unfortunate that a number of persons, like I said before, eventually became independent. In fact, they discovered they are not independent by chance, by luck. They didn't plan it. It just happened to them. And I said to you, being independent is not supposed to be an event. It's not just supposed to happen. You know, you see some people who wake up one day and say, I think I'm tired of living with my parents. Let me pack out of my parents' house. No. If you try that, life will deal with you severely. Hey. Oh God. How many of you grew up at home? The way your mother treated you, or your father treated you, one day you packed your bag and said, I want to go. I want to get out of this house. Kangacho. Let me go and find what to do with my life. I am tired of this nonsense. My friend, take that nonsense. It's a season. Amen. Come on. I knew several in my life, I've come to a point where I told myself, I don't think I'm ready. In fact, I don't think I can bear this anymore. I want to leave this house. After all, I have a call of God upon my life. After I'm anointed, I can go somewhere. I go just go and start something. I start hustling in my mind. That's what I've always told you. There's always a way that seems right in only your own eyes. Only your own eyes. So after I have thought about it several times, it's now that I'm growing up that I'm beginning to realize if I had made that mistake, even this place I am now, I can't be here. Now I'm telling you under God, listen. God planned our life in such a way. I've taught you before. The Bible said, okay, it's not Bible that said. I think it was Aristotle that said. He said, we are like dwarfs seated on the shoulders of giants. He said, we see more things than the essence, and things more closer. It is not because of our height or because we have a sharper sight, but because we are raised and born on the shoulders of giants. So we are not seeing better because we have a better sight. We are not seeing farther because we are taller. We only see farther because we went through a proper phase called the dependency phase of our life. It's a season where somebody else must have to cater for you at that phase. Are you hearing me right now? Are you hearing me right now? The person must have to cater. People must have to take care of you. Imagine my life. I told myself I'm going to leave home. because my parents were not giving me space to do ministry. So I wanted to run away from the house and go and so maybe go and join one church somewhere or go and join, you know, go and join. Listen, no people, God structured life in such a way that nobody on this earth can treat you like your parents. Nobody can be your parents to you. You don't even know how stupid you are until another person becomes your mother. It will dawn on you that your parents have done, they have absorbed so much. They have tolerated, so nobody can tolerate you like them. It's a phase in your life. Be stupid, but let some people carry you. Don't declare independence too early. But yet you must declare independence. And if you must declare independence, you must begin the process on time. Can I even shock you? What your parents are doing for you is to prepare you for independence. Are you hearing me right now?
Yes,
what they are doing for you is to do what? Is to prepare. That's why they are sending you to school, so that you come to a point where you don't have to need them again. But you see what? People are in that phase. There are people that will be dependent for too long. There are people that even close to at 28, 29. Now, see, some of them began to really realize that I'm supposed to have started taking my life very serious and personal. Like 28, 29. Why? Dad and mom has always been there, always, all along. Are you remembering that? If you are looking for a reason why you are not born into a rich home, I want to tell you one of the reasons. One of the reasons that you will so be over pampered and pampered into foolishness. So God has watched the frame of your heart. He has seen the way your heart is, and He knows if you are born into this kind of circle with all the pampering, you will. Hey, some of you know what I'm talking about. So God kept money away from you from when you are much younger, you know, so that you have to struggle through life and start thinking independently too early. Come on, hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. First thing is that you are going to be dependent, but you are not expected to be dependent for so long. Are we together now? But then, dependency season of your life is supposed to prepare you for when you're going to be eventually become independent in life. But look at how this thing plays out. Listen carefully to how this thing plays out. How it plays out is simple. What is happening in your parents' house, what is happening with you and your parents, is supposed to prepare you for a period of your life when you will look at your parents and tell them, I don't need you anymore. And it's not in quarrel. We are not quarreling. But it's just that way. I don't need you anymore. In fact, you guys are the ones that need me now, so I can start giving to you. Are we together? But look at the problem. Some of us overstay in our season of dependency and start planning independence very late. In fact, it's so serious that you start becoming independent, and when you now realize that time is no longer on my side, I now want to be independent, you just break out. No. While you are under your parents, wake up in their hands and now know that my life is not in their hands, it's in my hands. No, you still need to be under your parents to realize that. You don't need to be out of their house. If you are out of their house to realize that, you will find that life is very difficult and tough. Are you hearing me right now?
Yes,
look at what I mean. The best time to start pursuing your dreams is when your parents are still giving you money. The best time to start pursuing your dreams is when you are still under the roof of your parents. The best time to start pursuing your dreams is when your parents are comfortably taking care of you. That's the best time. That time they still feel you are their responsibility. That is the best time to actually start pursuing and pushing for your life and independence. So it means that independence is planned. Look at what you expected to do. Now I'm a 100 level. My dad and my mom pays my school fees. But way more than that, they supply me with all the resources I need. Now if I'm to go and start life afresh, if I'm going to go and start life on my own, I will have to, if I declare independence from now, I have to pay my house rent by myself. Are we together now? And if I pay my house rent by myself, I have to feed myself. And then I have to equally pay the prices of my dreams by myself. Are we together? So what do I do? While I am still with my parents, I should find my dreams and take some of the resources that enters my hand to fund my dreams while my parents fund my life. Are we together now? My parents take care of me. Me, I take care of my dreams. Am I talking to you right now? Am I talking to you right now? But it's unfortunate some of us don't have any dream to take care of right now. So, and that's why we don't even know what all the resources that is entering into your hands are meant for. And can I be shocking? There are things that will not start happening in your life until you begin to plot the next phase of your life, even while you are still with your parents. There are possibilities you cannot see. Listen, you know why I'm teaching you this? You just entered a year that must be maximized. You need to take advantage of this year and maximize your life. Are you remembering that? You are not maximizing the year. You are taking advantage of the year to do what? To maximize your life, to make your life count, so that the year does not come and go. By the time you are, the year has ended, you look at the entire year and look at your life and see what this year has contributed to this life because of where the life is going to. Are we together now? 2021 made a major contribution into my life. So in the entire year 2021, I was able to squeeze out a number of things I added to the quality of my life that makes my life better enough for the future I am envisaging. That future I'm looking at, there is something this season is doing in my life that is preparing me for that future. So I am maximizing the year. I'm taking advantage of the year so I can maximize my life. I don't waste the year. Are you hearing me right now? Are you hearing me right now? So I am equally bringing to your understanding that the best time to start plotting your way out of your parents' house is when you are with them. Are you hearing me right now? Are you hearing me right now? Being independent did not take Joseph by surprise. Being independent, he didn't do what? He didn't take Joseph by surprise. Even though he was not planning to be so independent so early. But then somehow in his mind, the young man has begun to plot his own dream and vision in his own head, even while he was with his parents. Are you hearing me right now? There is a way children dream. Do you know how children dream? Children dream like the children of Israelites. How do they dream? Moses came to them and casted a vision. Men and brethren, we have a future in Canaan. Egypt is not where we are supposed to. In fact, we don't like Egypt. Bible says it was even their tears that made God to even send Moses to them. Aware? It means they were no longer comfortable with where they are. Same way, the way you enjoy resources now, you're no longer comfortable with it. You want a better life. A life that is better than what you already have now. Are you hearing me right now? In fact, the fact that I'm not going to remain a child forever makes me appreciate much more. Makes me more intentional about my life. Because time is going and definitely I'm growing. So now, it was like that. The children of Israel, like, they were in that place. And then, they didn't like what they were seeing. They wanted a better life. God now sent his servant to come and paint the picture of a better life to them. After Moses painted the entire picture, they became interested. They began the journey. The journey to the promised land was not supposed to be Moses' dream. It is supposed to be the dream of the what? Talk to me. It's supposed to be the dream of which people? Israelites. The dream of Israelites. But what happened when Moses went to the mountain? He did not come down. Moses was leading them. The job of Moses was to guide them. It's like the job of your parents. Your parents are not even the owners of their destiny. They are supposed to be guardians at certain seasons of your life. Are we together now? That was what Moses was providing for Israel. He was providing for them guidance. He was providing for them leadership. But you see, it is difficult to drag people who don't have self-motivation. Are we together now? Come on, talk to me. Are we together now? The Bible now told us that a day now came. Moses went to the mountain. They were expecting he was going to come back the next day. Moses didn't come back the next day. 2 days after, Moses did not come back. 3 days after, Moses was not back. For 10 days, he was not back. 20 days, he was not back. 30 days, Moses was not back. Moses stayed there for 40 good days. But you see, while Moses was in the mountain, I was expecting Israelites to now say, okay, our vision is the promised land. Since Moses is not back, let us find our way to the promised land. Do you know what they did? They abandoned the dream and settled for the less. You know why? The children of Israelites had, they followed Moses to a point where they grew so much dependency on Moses, where they thought that the success of their life is dependent on Moses. The Bible says they had a collective dream. The moment they could not see Moses, they abandoned the dream. I've asked you before, why are you in school? Is it because your parents want you to go to school? What is even your dreams? What exactly are your pursuits? Are your pursuits the ones your parents give to you? And I've asked you, God forbid it will never happen. Let's even assume your parents are no more. Will you still be successful? I'm asking you. I'm asking you. Let's assume your parents are no more. It will not happen. Say amen. But let's assume that they are not around. Like they are not around. They are no more. Would you still succeed in life? Don't be in the haste to say yes. I think about it. What would you do? What would you do? Because you see, like I said, don't dream like a child. That's the way children dream. Because there is no Moses to guide them, the dream was abandoned. In fact, look at what they were saying. Please, take us back to Egypt. Let's return back there and go and settle. Let's go back to Egypt. Like, let's go back to the place of suffering. And that's where life is. Look at the truth. They knew the way back, but they didn't know the way forward. They'll be more comfortable to take, as a, you know, that's the way life is. Most young people has become so dependent that they are scared of taking the risk of standing alone. Every time the thought of standing alone comes to their mind, they are too scared. They don't even want to dream bigger. They don't want to take more steps. Listen, I need to carefully remind you that your success, your greatness is your primary responsibility. Every other person around your life are helpers, including your parents. Now imagine when you are somebody, you are aware that you are being helped. You relax as though you are entitled for the help. Are you right now? Somebody's having an entitlement mentality. You are, the destiny is your own. Success is your own. If at the end of the day something happens and you failed in life, now you go bear the burden upon your head. It's not your mom. Your mom will be somewhere. She only suffer the fact that you're not sending money back home. Are we together now? Are we together now? That's the only thing she will suffer. And she did not, she's already used to it. Because for her to be in her old age and be expected to send money to her, it means she didn't really enjoy life too much. She managed life. And she'll manage it probably before she dies. But you see, the real burden will be on you. If you enter this year again, I want you to start thinking, how do I make the most out of my life? Why? Adulthood is catching up on me. Are you hearing me right now? Adulthood is what? Is before I know what is happening, it will come upon me. Please, how do I sort my life out? That's the sea you are into. You are in that point in your life where you are thinking, how do I, what is that thing that will be the escape route out of poverty? What is that thing I need to do? Because I have dwelt around lack. I've dwelt around poverty for a long, and I don't want to be in poverty again. I need to wake up by myself and tell myself, this is not my place. I need to start finding a way out of here. Let's start finding a way out of here. Some of you, if you take a closer look at your life now, you know where you're coming from. You know the kind of family you had. You knew your background very well. And you know very well that if nothing happens for you, if nothing happens for you, things are likely going to be very difficult. It now becomes very important that at this point in your life, you should sit down and ask yourself, this journey I'm already a youth. I'm already a younger person. It will not take long now. In fact, you know, I used to tell you that when you become a youth, you are a few steps away from the evil days. Let me now make it more clear. If you are in university, you are a few steps away from the evil days. You hear what I said? There are days called evil days. That time, you you know when you graduate from school, life will come upon you. Now you are sitting on top of life. You are chopping life. Wake up in the morning, you eat. If you don't find food to eat, you have somebody you can call on phone and get angry that you have not eaten. The way people are treating me in this school, the way people The dad will get angry. The dad will just get angry. I'll carry my bag and come back to the house. Of course, you threaten your parents like that, and it's easy now. Soon enough, you will leave school. From the moment you leave, your parents may not stop giving you money. It's you that will start feeling stupid for collecting it. They may not stop giving you. You are the one that will start feeling stupid for collecting it. Let me even ask you, how were you treated after you left secondary school? Ordinary secondary school. Ordinary secondary school. You saw the way you were handled. If they push you to go and start working, if you don't work and take care of yourself, you're on your own. Secondary school. Imagine what will not happen when you graduate from university. Your name will be on your proper or your, you know. You will now have to be on your own. That's why. Don't allow that season of your life to meet you by chance. Don't come into that phase in your life and then you'll be like, hi, how come I did not prepare for this? No. It's the reason why now I'm aware that my days on campus is some steps away from the evil days. What should I be doing on campus? What exactly should you be doing as a student? You know, one of the biggest deceptions of your life is to think you are really a student. Are you hearing me right now? You are not. You're only somebody taking in knowledge that you need for where you are going to. You are passing through school. You are passing through this place. Are we together? And you know, one thing about this is that this place covers a lot of things. When you graduate, it's as though they pulled out all the coverage over your life. You have to sail through life by yourself. You have to start finding your way. So by that time, nobody will look for a job for you. Let me just ask you a question. If you know how to write CV, wave your hands. You know how to write CV. You know how to write CV. Raise your hands. Bring your hands down. You don't know how to write. Raise your hand. One day as a student, I asked myself a question. Let's even assume I'm going to go and get a job. Let's even assume that if I graduate, I've gone to back, see people walking their back, and I ask myself, oh boy, do you think you can do this thing? No, look at this thing. This is what I'm doing now. Do you think you can really press laptop like this? Do you think you can, you know, this pressure of people standing on the line and everybody's angry, you are not meeting up. Do you think I survive the pressure? Are you sure you don't make terrible mistakes that will make them sack you? Are we together now? You know what I'm telling you. You are in a season of your life that is extremely very important. A season when you are summarizing the dependency season of your life. It is gradually coming to an end. Listen. After you leave school, I don't know how to put it to you. One of the things you'll find out is that one of the things that really put people under real pressure, your parents could still be doing one thing or the other for you. But the moment you turn around and notice that you graduated with 10 persons and 7 of them are already taking care of their life and you are the one still at home. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to bring the realities of that season closer to you now as a student so that you can start sorting your way out. Are you hearing me? I want to bring the reality of that season of your life very close to your environment so that now you are in school, you can start finding your way. So you just find it as a student and to walk straight into it. The year has started. It is up to you to make the most out of this year. But first of all, you must have the right frame of mind. And what is that right frame of mind? You are not supposed to be aware. I am summarizing. I am bringing to an end that phase of my life. When nobody, some of you already know what your parents are going through to sponsor you through school. It has not even dawned on you that if you graduate. If it is like this, when you are a student, when they feel completely obligated, what will now happen? When you graduate and they feel a sense of achievement. You know, some of you are not aware that at your graduation, your parents will feel a sense of achievement. They feel that at this point, nobody will say, I did not help my child. Nobody will say, I did not support. Nobody will say it. At least I saw him or her through school. Now, young man, young lady, you're on your own. So don't be like the Israelites. When that time finally come and they say, "Oga, you're not your own," you will abandon everything and reside. Listen, some people will not live above mediocrity. They will never. Why? If you see the way they are planning their life already, you will know they can't live above mediocrity. They're waiting for chance, they're waiting for luck. Yet, this is that season of your life. Now, when you are aware that you are summarizing your season of dependency, what are you supposed to be doing? Is it not time for you to start planning your independence? I've told you guys the story of my life here in school. As a student, I played a very smart game on my parents and on life because I became wise early. Listen carefully. I knew that the things I needed to do with my life, my parents are not as interested. My parents does not have faith in it. See, your parents will not have faith in your dreams. They only have faith in your school. They have faith in your school. You're going to school. They think that everything that will happen in your life will be by you're not going to school. They've not been told where. You don't blame them. That's the way they think. That's their orientation. Are we together now? Are we together now? So it may suggest that it is me that had to start sorting out my life by myself. So now that I'm here, since I'm summarizing this season of my life, I should now stand here and start planning. So those days, I knew very early that my dad, my mom, first of all, is that they're not even very buoyant enough. Number two is that in my father's mind, I'm training my child to go to school. Now listen, I had a father who don't ask me what my result is. The reason for my going to school for him is to take pride in the fact that my child is a graduate. Are we together? So you know what that means. The man is fulfilling his dream, not your dream. It dawned on me early that the man is fulfilling his dream. I'm supposed to be finding my dream. Because his biggest vision is to train his child in university. My own is to become a successful person. It is you that want to be successful. Some of us, not all of us though. There are some parents who are smarter than that. You understand? Some of us, our parents are working so hard. Let it just be that they have fulfilled their dream. My child went to school. Your own dream should be, let me not just go to school. Your dream should not be to go to school. Your dream is to have a quality life. Are we together now? So after I am done, after I have finished, what next? So I sat down. I thought about it. Thoroughly thought about it. I knew already that if I leave school, I'll be on my own. So look at what I did. I first of all sat down, knew what I wanted to do. Like I already told you, I knew they would not believe in it. The one they have faith on is what I'm doing in school. And the one I'm doing in school, me, I don't have faith on it. Amen. If you have faith on your course, say good amen. Wait. You have faith on the course you are studying in school, wave your hands. Amen. Let me ask you again. You have faith on the course you are studying in this school. You have faith that that course can give you a future. Wave your hands. Okay, me, I didn't have faith on my own. Amen. And look at the beautiful thing. If you have faith on your course, you should not read like an average student. Why? When I knew my own was ministry, not microbiology, I studied ministry more than microbiology. I killed myself in ministry more than that one. In fact, I needed to be a pro in doing this one. If you now know that the course you are studying, you have faith in it, don't read the way your classmates are reading, because that course is everything you have. That will be all you need to lay the basic foundation of your future. And listen, don't depend on your lecturers. You must go beyond them. Why? I've told you, your lecturers are doing their job. You're the one that wants to succeed in life. Are you hearing me right now? So you don't have to depend. You have to go out of your way. Make extra researches. Why? It is not your lecturers that will interview you. Do you hear what I said? When you finally want to get a job in the course you study, it's not your lecturers that will do what? It's not them. You've interviewed based on their course, not based on your slide. They can only interview based on your slide because we're students. After you graduate, they interview based on their course as a whole. Unfortunately, 85% of your lecturers did not complete their syllabus in the semester. Those who knew they will not complete their own, they'll just come to class, fill it up. And me and you know you don't read it up. Even if you read it up, you read it up so that you can write exam. And after exam, you walk out of the exam hall blank. Is that really how you're going to navigate through life? So when you are an astronomer microbiologist, you now go to an industry to go and get a job as an industrial microbiologist. Then I ask you one question. Gani, you don't remember? I wrote this in the exam hall. They will not tell you to go and bring your exam paper. Now wait till you get there. Now they will collect. Are we together now? Then those of you who are not so sure that they have faith on the course they are studying, please be wiser. Do you know what I said? Be wise. Start finding that thing you have faith on and think of a way to make it a lot better. You know what I'm trying to do? I want us to sort out the beginning. Like, I want to sort out our mind properly. Now we are beginning. So that we can know the way forward. We have prayed. We have fasted. We now need direction. What is that thing? Bible says, I will bless the work of your hands. The work of your hands. Let me tell you why we did the program we did last week. We did not do the program so you receive credit alerts. We did the program to sort out your life, not the moment. It was your destiny we are looking at. Are you remembering that? It was more than the prayers you prayed. Come on, amen. But for my guys, you see, you know, I'm talking like this. I'm about getting married. And wait, it's not for excitement. Listen, a lot of things are becoming more real to me. If you're a young man here, please stop messing around in school. I'm not this one I just said now. If it's a pause, you say, write it down, you understand it later. Don't waste your life. Start here and sort out your life. Start here. Things are not really as easy as they seem. You know, when another person is handling responsibilities, it looks like something that can be easy to handle. When I come there, I will do it. Is it not to pay bills? What is there? My friend, come there first. Even marriage cannot be done well without money. No. What I'm saying is so simple. Go to your family and check. 85% of the problem your father is having with your mother is money. Check. Am I not saying the truth? 85% of the problem your dad and your mom usually have is money. It's money. Somebody said, romance without finance is equal to menace. Are we together now? So it's for those of you who are falling in love, spending the little money you're supposed to invest on your dreams, on one girl that you will not marry. Be laughing. Who is laughing with you? Amen. Come on, amen. Now listen, we are already beginning the year. I need us, every one of you here, to withdraw, sit back. Let us sort out this destiny. Let's begin. Let's start sorting this thing out. I don't want to start by talking to you about vision. I need to show you why you need to have a vision for your life. I need to show you why like your life depends on what is driving you, right? What you are after now. So it's important you get it, that you are rounding up your days in dependency. You are stepping into that phase when you're going to be on your own. Eventually, when you get to that point, can you really be on your own? No, think about it. Very soon, as a young man, you will live alone before you eventually get married. Look at your life very closely. Are you not scared of living alone? Are you sure you can have a visitor if you have to live alone? Or will your visitor enter your house and cover his nose? Because you're so careless with your life at the moment. You are summarizing, you are rounding it up. That phase of your life when you have to depend on your parents, you have to depend on someone. If I am rounding it up, then it is the best time for me to wake up and start contending for my future. It's the best time for me to be smarter. I've always told you this. People that have the biggest disadvantage in life are those that wake up late. I mean, those who really start taking their life seriously, really. Look at this one now. Look at this one. As at when Esau was deceived, Esau does not know what a better is used for. As at when he was deceived, he doesn't know. As at that time, if you price him better, they will give you. If you price him a bread from a plate of food, he will collect a plate of food and leave better. As at that time, when his eyes opened, he didn't have better right again. As at when he knew how important a better right is, Jacob has collected it. It means Jacob became wise, woke up on time, began to contend for his future very early while he was much younger. Are you hearing me right now? He woke up and began to contend for it. They began to ask important questions. Jesus told the mother, "Do you not know I must be about my father's business? Do you know that I must be about?" You are at a sensitive place in your life. If you are in 100 level, blessed are your ears for you are hearing these things. I'm telling you. Last year, I wanted to organize a final year conference. I called course rates. You know, students here, if you call 100 level course rates and tell them you want to organize a conference, they will not come. Final year, course rates, you are begging us to do the program. You were with us. They were the ones who were even saying, Pastor, these are people who don't go to church. They're not even serious with God. They were not telling me, Pastor. One of them came to introduce himself. Should I mention this guy's name? Say, okay, introduce yourself. He stood up and said, "My name is Krotu." I said, "What?" I'm trying to show you that these are people that their life is like this. But yet, when I mentioned it, at final year, they didn't need anybody to tell them why. They were writing their projects. Few moments and few days after that moment, they will leave the school. So it has started dawning on them. If I graduate, where am I going to? They were not the ones who are begging me, "Please, sir, I wish you can organize this conference even for 100 level students." So if you are in 100 level and you are listening to me now, blessed are your ears for you are hearing these things. You are in 200 level, blessed are your ears. You are in 300 level. And you are not in final year, and this is the first time you are hearing this. You have to think about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come and talk to me. Hallelujah. So, what is our point? You are summarizing this phase of your life, and there is something this phase is supposed to be meant for. This is that time you have to sit down and ask yourself, like I asked before, the course I am studying in school, can it actually be a foundation for what I want to do with my life? If it is not going to be, then I need to find what exactly it is that will be the foundation. And then study it simultaneously while I'm studying that course I have been compelled to study. Are you hearing me right now? Study it what? Simultaneously. Labor in it simultaneously. So look at what I did to my parents. I didn't finish that story. I told them, I called them for a meeting, and I told them, "Daddy and Mommy, I want to start a church in school." My mom frowned. My dad behaved like the person that just spoke. "You are very, very stupid." He didn't say it like that, but the way it was in his face, he didn't want to sound too harsh. He told me, "I got to finish school." So I can finish school first. If you had wanted to go to, if you had wanted to start church, you would have gone to Bible school and not allow me to waste my money in the university. My mom said it's own. My dad said it's own. My mom said it's own. My dad said it's own. I left home. When I left, we started ministry without me telling them. I started the dream without them being aware. So look at what was happening. At that point, they would send me money to take care of myself on a normal. You get the point now? And that time, I was one that print banners of my church. I didn't even have money to tell anybody self to even contribute money for printing banners. So now me, they print the banner by myself. So I'll print the banner. I would most of the foundational things I need to do for the work to be going forward, I was doing it by myself, by my own money, with my own resources, with my own finances. We were doing it until my father caught me. Amen. Come on, amen. But you know the good news? The good news was that I began in 200 level. He found that in my final year. Yes. He found that in my final year, first semester. I think, okay, after my 300 level, yes. That was when he found out. When he now found that after my 300 level, he decided to withdraw sponsorship. As I then I was ready in final year. Ministry was no longer child's play. The work has come to a point where I can no longer say no to it. I will tell you now, you know what I did? I knew I was going to soon become independent of them. I began to plan my independence. Why be independent? The best time to plan your life alone, independent of your parents, is when you are with them. If you leave them, this will be very difficult to plan by yourself alone. So as at that time, the work has gotten to a point. It shook me and shook me and shook me. That final day, I was trying to get myself. At the end of the day, there was nothing that can be done. I cannot close the church. And I have members who believe in the vision. So even if I want to close the church because of them, I can't close it because of these ones. Do you understand now? Look at that church I would have closed. Look at that church I would have closed. Look at what I would have closed because of them. Now look at what I would have. It would have been when I graduated from school, I would have started the journey. Imagine what life would look like for me there. Now look at what it would have been like. After that time I now graduated, it's obvious. Nobody would give me a dime. As at that time, nobody pays my house rent again. Because at least they were helping me pay my house rent. Do you understand the point now? Why? Because I was a student. They sent to school. So now nobody will pay my rent. I will now have to hustle to pay rent. Hustle to do this and hustle. If you don't know what is happening, I will no longer be patient enough. I will quit because the pressure will become too much. This thing will no longer be a reality. Are we together? Let me tell you why people drop their visions. They start. The difficulty is too intense because as when they started late. They have crossed a phase in their life. Listen, every young person is supposed to have a Mordecai in his or her life. You know what a Mordecai is? You know what a Mordecai is? A Mordecai is the person that helps you interpret your season. Somebody that reminds you, Oga, Madam. Imagine what would have happened to Esther. If at the end of the day, Esther did not finally go to meet what's the name? King Ahasuerus. If Esther had not met King Ahasuerus, the implication would have been that Esther would have died when she wasn't supposed to die. When the opportunity opened itself, there was a Mordecai to tell Esther, you are here for such a time as this. That's what I'm doing for you now. You are in the school for such a time as this. For a reason, this phase of your life, I'm simply interpreting it for you. I'm helping you think about this phase of your life from a better light. To think better, I'm in a phase in my life. I need to sort a lot of things around me. If I don't do that, things go out of place. This is the best time to learn some of the basics of life. The best time. You are soon going to get married. All the ladies here, listen and listen carefully to me. She said, those of you, of course, some of you said we even married before your final year. I've seen it. They were prophesying to somebody here that she'll marry in August. Where is she? Amen. Come on, amen. Now listen. Are you listening? So now, very soon you're going to get married. The big question is this. At that point, you know, when you were at home, your parents were telling you, children, you don't like sweeping there. You don't like it. You go and pick broom and sweep. Chidima. You are in this house and this house is like this. It hold you. Because of the way your mom said it. When I carried broom and swept. You don't sweep. You only sweep because there is somebody who influences you to sweep. Soon enough, there will be no influencers. You'll be on your own. Your house will be dirty. Your husband will come back and slap the hell out of you. Just come back and deal with you accordingly. And now start crying. Marriage is tough. Marriage is difficult. Yo. You are the one who is a terrible human being. You are too raw. Isaiah said, woe unto me for I am undone. You know what it means? A man who is undone is almost a cursed man. If you are not properly prepared for something, if you enter into it, you look like you're under a curse. I'm telling you. Because you will struggle unnecessary limits. You are a young man. The moment you marry, you will start having sex. Boom! Your wife will take it. You have to manage a pregnant woman. That one is a lecture of his own. How to manage a pregnant woman. After she has not given birth. A lecture of his own for a man. I'm telling you. After a woman gives birth, she goes through a particular phase of her life. That time, little things offend her. Little things. Why? She has given birth. She's not adding in weight. She doesn't feel that she's as beautiful as she used to be. Before you marry, the slightest thing offend her is a season. A season. And the mood swing at that phase is out of this world. You just be looking at a woman and you are wondering, little thing you read there, why are you hungry? You're looking for her reason for me, you can't find one. My brother, if there is no training to handle that phase of your life, you know how your father succeeded in handling your mother till now, you don't know. Are we together now? How he lived with that woman till now? You know, you people are five in your houses. You don't know your father went through five different phases. That's why I cannot come and kill myself. Two or one self, I'm okay. If God helps me, she does it once. Bah! Glory to be to God. We forget about that experience. Go through it only once. And then life continues. My point is, you must know what to be doing with this season of your life. This is a season of learning. This is a season of learning. Don't allow a man to be in your life. That's when it dawned on you. What to actually do as a wife. Who to actually be as a wife. Don't wait for that. Some of you, the moment you are dropping pen as a lady graduating, boom, one man will show up. In fact, you already have someone who has posted you. The man is just waiting for you to graduate. He'll just grab you. But the both of you already have an agreement. Just finish this thing you are doing. That what is holding me is this thing you are doing. Just finish it. Ebu Kola got ready for marriage. And you are still struggling to be able to really take care of yourself now. Yet you've been booked for marriage. And all the excitement in your head about that marriage is the clothes you wear. The pre-wedding picture you snap. That's what is on your head or in your phone. That's what is everywhere in your phone. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. So my point is this. Sit up. Sit up. You have your life to live. You have your life to plan. You have your life to dream about. You have a vision to catch up with. You have every reason to dream. You have every reason to have a vision. Listen, if you see a young person that does not have vision, we know. You know what the Bible says? Where there is no vision. Wait. The people do what? Leave cast off restraint. The people do what? Perish. It means your life deteriorates instead of accelerates. When there is no vision in your life does what? Your life goes down.
You are growing up, but your life is gradually deteriorating. Seriously. A young lady called me on phone Saturday last week. One of our members gave her my message to listen. I don't know her from anywhere. She's married with a child. She called me on phone. By the time she was done narrating what she was going through with the husband, I said to myself, I think some ladies will really find it difficult to find a good man. I'm telling you, some men are wrongly raised. I'm telling you under heaven, most guys are wrongly raised. Wrongly raised. And some of them are really not intentional about the way they are growing up. Please pay very good attention to me. Don't be smiling too much. Some men are, when she was done talking, child, I told her the only remedy for your life now is that man leaves Omoaya and come here for me to talk to him. But I know you will never do it. I know that man will never. He will never do it. A man that opened his mouth and told the lady that the only person I listen to is already dead, and it's my mother. So, and there is nothing, like, she's dealing with the wife. Nobody can talk to him. Nobody can talk him out of it. You know the most shocking thing? You now think he's begging a man that can calm him down. Then now I told her, but why not soften your voice and go and beg him? Go and beg him. He said, Pastor, I have cried. I didn't only beg, I cried. I have knelt down. There is nothing I have not done. Say, Pastor, I am tired. Marriage is 2 years. They got married in 2020. This is 2022. Say, Pastor, I am tired. You know what I ended up telling her? I cannot tell her to divorce her marriage. I told her 2 days. Number one, if it's too much, you cannot do anything about it. Carry your bag. Don't divorce your husband. Go to your mother's house. Go and be alive first. Number two, endure. Go and endure. But you know there are things that are difficult to endure. Are we together now? My point is this. I don't know how that young man was raised. I don't know who raised him. And I've told you before, don't always look at yourself and think you'll do better. As a young man, listen, don't always look at yourself and think you what? And think you'll do better. Is a reason. What you are supposed to do with your life right now is to be extremely intentional about it. Start developing, start working, start making your life better and beautiful. In fact, you're supposed to be working on your life, beautifying your life in a way that somebody can walk into this life and be happy to be here. I've told you guys that home is not a place, it's a person. Should I say it again? Home is not a place. Home is a what? Home is a person. It's not a place. It's a human being that knows how to manufacture peace of mind. Men and female alike. Are you hearing me right now? Basically, I need every one of you here to go back and sit down. I'm summarizing the phase in my life. What do I need to start doing now? Is it business? Is it a skill? I need to be doing something now. I should just be doing something now. If I'm not doing something that gives me money, I should be learning something that will give me money. If I'm not doing something that is putting money in my hand now, I should just be doing something that gives me a hope of a future. Don't navigate through life hopeless. Don't navigate through life without any single picture on your head of what the next is going to look like. What is even this vision we are talking about? Vision is simple. Sit down. Think and plan about the future with an image on your head and a wisdom on your head. Sit down. Think and plan. Think and plan. One of the things that is most difficult for an average young person to do. Listen, we are too distracted in life that we don't have time to plan. One of the things you do with the early days of your year is to go and check again. I have a plan for my life. How will this year? What are the things I need to do this year that will make a major contribution to that plan I have for my life at large? What are the new things I need to start this year? What are the new commitments I need to make? What are the new engagements? Some of you have too much time. You're not supposed to have too much time now. Some of you have too much time. Like, you have too much time you're doing with nothing. It's not now. If you are smart, it's not now. This is supposed to be the busiest days of your life. Some of you have smartphone. There is practically nothing you are doing with it. Nothing. Please wake up. Wake up. The first thing God does with anybody is to wake the person up. I've told you. The first thing God does is to wake you up because of your future. Wake you up to the consciousness of your future. Why? If you sleep for too long, you will miss out on a number of things will happen around you that you will meet, but you are not aware. When you now become aware, you remember, when I was in my dream, I was hearing them say something like this. Hey! Now look at how I need this. Now, if I hadn't woken up that time and attend to that matter, I want to stir your heart again. Maybe when you went for Christmas, all your dreams, everything became a mirage. Now we have started again. I've started again to disturb your life. I've started again to put you under pressure to really wake up and start sorting your life out. That time is now. That time is now. That time is now. Go and check everyone. At the age of 12, Jesus started planning his life. 12. He was planning independent of his parents. He was still in his parents' house and was planning his future. Do you remember? They took him to Jerusalem. He went there and stayed for 3 days. The mother came looking for him. Oh boy, why do you treat me and your father like this? He said, do you not know I must be about my father's business? Why are you looking for me anyhow? I'm not still a child. The Bible says, at that age, he had questions to ask. I've asked you before. The Bible says, they brought Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar. Scripture said they stood before Nebuchadnezzar, and they were able to, the Bible said, they were 10 times better than the equals. If they give you contact now with devil mind, what can you be able to do? What is it you can offer that can change your life? That's supposed to be something you are sampling before him. That by looking at this, you look at this and say, wow, I have a way to help you. You have a skill right now you are perfecting, or you just started. Some of you before your graduation should have something you're already doing that you're happy about. Something you're already that you're happy about. Why? In university, you are not far from the evil days. A little sleeping, a little falling of the hand. What will happen to you? Do what? Bible says poverty will come upon. You don't know what that means. There is poverty, when it's within. But when it comes upon you, it's a little sleeping, a little folding of the hands. What was he talking about? Being mindless through life. That's what he mean by folding of the hands. You are sleeping, your hands are full. Things are just happening, you are unconcerned. Your mates are picking dreams, your mates are picking a skill, they are learning. They're just wanting, you are just unconcerned, you are just there. He said, if you keep folding your hands like that, we are not even saying you are sleeping too much, we are just saying that you are folding your hands. If you keep folding your hands like that, he said, poverty is on the way. Can I shock you? As you are here now, poverty is on the way coming. Once it arrives here, Drapuit will come upon, Drapuit will skip and come upon another person. Skip this person. Why? Because this one was not folding hands. Everything is on ground that makes him attract finances. Go back, sit down. And start dreaming again. Start planning your life again. Start sorting your life again. Hi! Look at what the scripture said. So shall thy poverty. This one hits me differently. So shall whose poverty? I. Look at the way it's come. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. It's coming. That guy is on the way. Your poverty is traveling. It's traveling from the future down to the present. Are you hearing me now? There are others who poverty will come. It will skip them. It's wealth that will come upon them. Why? When poverty meets them, they just know there are people that can't be poor. They just cannot be poor. They are too skillful that they cannot be poor. He said, so shall thy poverty. Every man has a poverty, but your own will not travel. From where it is, it will just be looking at you. I cannot come and visit this guy. I cannot. Everybody has their own. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy wants. Your wants, your needs will come like a soldier. It will come like a thief, and it will be dealing with, it will be up, your needs will be oppressing you. That's what the scripture means. Your wants, your needs will come as an armed man to oppress your life. Is somebody crying? Why are you crying? You are crying because you do not have what money can buy. There's something money can. The problem you have is not some problem that cannot be solved. The only problem you have right now is simple. Money can buy, but you don't have the money that can buy it. So the situation is oppressing you. Please don't ever find yourself in that place. That's why the wrongest time to sleep and fold your hands is as a student. It's the wrongest time. Don't go to lecture and come back mindlessly. Take out your time. Take out your time. Another scripture said, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Hey! The people cast off restraint. The reason we are struggling the way we are struggling to stop from some young people from misbehaving the way they are doing is because there is no picture in their head. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. They cast off restraint. You can't be an ex-convict when you know you want to become a president of a nation. You can be careless, doing your thing, doing your thing. The moment it dawns on you, I'm going to become president of a nation. And these are the requirements. Suddenly, you have every reason to be careful with every single step you take. If you have not seen it, you are permitted to live carelessly. Say, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. We saw that both one of God's deliverance mechanisms is to put a vision in a man's life. You know, in the course of this program, a lot of this has been talked about your background. One of the ways God delivers people from what is consistent with their background is to put a vision in their head. The moment God puts a vision, the vision becomes ties you down. Why? It will not allow you to do what others are doing and become a victim. Some apostle saying that he cannot drink. Why? He has a vision. Go and check all those weird drunkards. There was no picture in their head. For them, they were just living aimlessly. Devil took advantage of that and oppressed their life. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Take a closer look at, I've always taught us every year, I remind you the story of Joseph and Reuben. The two first sons in the house of Jacob. Two first sons. Reuben was the first son. Joseph was the first son. Both of them were first sons. Both of them were suffering the same thing. They were faced with exactly the same temptation. What was the temptation? The temptation of a man's wife. Do you remember? Come and talk to me. Do you remember? What were the temptation? For Jacob, for Reuben, it was his father's wife. For Joseph, it was Potiphar's wife. Can I shock you? The person who was a temptation to Reuben was a person his father went to the house of Laban, saw that servant and was not interested. If you read the Bible very well, the Bible will tell you that Jacob entered the house of Laban, saw Leah and Rachel. The Bible said that Leah has a challenging eye. She was not too fine. But Rachel, scripture says Rachel was very beautiful and is well favored. Favored is not that people dash out something. Favored is what you call being endowed. You are at the point now. So now she was well favored. She was well endowed. That was what Jacob saw. You know, it was not love is very wicked. Love, very wicked. It was not Laban that told Jacob to serve for 7 years. It was Jacob that said, I will serve for 7 years because of Rachel. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and that 7 years did not mean anything to him because he loved Rachel. 7 years did not mean anything to a man. 7 years. 7 years. Are we together now? Now, I'm trying to show you that after that 7 years, they gave him Leah. He refused Leah and served another 7 years so he can get Rachel. Now, in those days,
Since in those days, every daughter has a maid they attach to her. Leah has a maid. Rachel has a what? The both of them has their maid. Do you know who Reuben slept with? Reuben slept with one of the maids of the mother. They called her one of the father's wives. Maid, maid, maid. That was the temptation of Reuben. Because Reuben had no vision. He had no reason to say no. Anybody that open leg, I will enter. Anybody that just, if you just say, I like you, no wahala. What was Joseph's temptation? Who was Joseph's temptation? Do you know who Potiphar's wife is? Do you know who Potiphar's wife is? These are one of the top ranking officials in that nation. The way they marry is that they gather the fair virgins in the land. Fair virgins, all of them. Keep them in the place, prepare them. They will not come and make selection and select the best and keep in her in his house. Are we together now? The woman was so beautiful, he knew that even servants would be tempted. So he handed over everything he has to Joseph and tell him, You see my wife? Don't even go close. Don't try it. That was how pretty, that was how beautiful Potiphar's wife was. Shockingly, it was even the woman that was after him. For Reuben was after the woman. Maid. For Joseph, the woman was after him with all her beauty. Scripture said Joseph left his clothes there and ran away. Why? He thought within himself, how can I do this great wickedness against the God who has led me in destiny till now? At 17, he saw something Reuben never saw in his life. Till Reuben died, he never saw anything. There was no future to contend for. There was no future to contend for. Where there is no vision, the people cast off. You will not have restriction on how you spend your money until there is a vision. The day you start, somebody told me, Pastor, I wish that the kind of money I have now was the kind of money I had when I was, that I had the kind of money I had before, now that I know what to do with money. As and when the person knew what to do with money, he doesn't have money again. When he had money, he was looking for what to do. He was just thinking, what do I do? He was busy wasting the money. Now, you know, every event to come and do this. Every event to come and do this. This is the best time to sit down and ask yourself intentional questions. In fact, what we are saying is not that you are going to get your answers immediately. Are we together? The question, you are not going to get the answers about life immediately. But please, if you start, you will find it in the course of searching. You will find it because you have a quest for it. You will find what to do with your life because you started thinking about it. If it doesn't even come to your mind, it doesn't even occur to you that journey has started for you, you may likely live through this season, step into the next season, and go through your struggles. My counsel to us is very simple. As I summarize, this is the best time for every one of us to start asking destiny questions. Do you hear what I said? This is the best time to do what? To start asking destiny related questions. Questions about destiny. Okay, now I have a skill. How do I monetize it? How do I put leadership around it? How do I organize my life? This is the best time to start asking those destiny related questions. Be on your feet, everybody. Tonight, the assignment is simple. To stir your heart to start dreaming again. Go and reconsider your visions. Go and revisit your plans. Go and review your plans and arrangements. Have you abandoned them? Why did you abandon them? What happened? What situation happened? Last year, you began a particular thing, and then the thing did not work the first time, the second time, you dropped it. Now, there is no vision. There is nothing you are working on at all. No! It shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. From today and from service today, I need to start thinking, start engaging your mind. What is the way out? What is the way forward? What should I do? You know, now you are coming back. They already gave you a lot of money. and then you feel that no, I think I'm too comfortable. Please, I'm telling you now and now again, go and find your way. Sit down and sort your life. For those of you who don't have so much faith on the course you are studying, the time has started. The time has started. The time is now to take your life very serious. Those of you who have faith on the course you are studying, it's even the time now to take the course much more serious. In the next few minutes, can you talk to the Lord? I know you are looking for it. What is that thing that will change my life? I know you are looking for it. What is that thing that will change things in my life? That will change my life for the better. What exactly is it? You are on a search. Can you talk to God about your search? Who is that man that wants to build his life? Who does not first of all sit down and count the cost? And know whether he has enough to even start and to even finish. Some of you have taken the proper count of your life. You have taken the proper census of your life. You will realize that, Kai, that you, one of the resources you don't have is time. You realize that you don't even have time to finish because time is a resource. You will realize that you have wasted a lot of time. Ask God for direction tonight. This is not that year you will start and end without anything to show for it. I don't know how you entered last year. I don't know how you came into last year. But you see this particular year, you need to be extremely intentional about it. Some of you are not very serious. Your prayers are not loud enough. They are not intentional enough. It's not even loud. They are not intentional enough. Some of you, your prayers are still mindless. But if you are beginning to grow, I think you should be wise enough to cry out to God. Lord, I'm in final year. Lord, I'm in 300 level. Lord, I'm already in 200 level. This is 100 level, Lord. I need to find what that thing is. Maybe it is ministry that I'm supposed to be doing. I need to learn ministry. I need to learn it. Maybe it is business that I need to do. I need to go back and start again. What is that idea? What is that wisdom that should run my life? My life will trust in you. My heart 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 will trust in you. Go ahead and talk to God. Go ahead and personally talk to God. Personally talk to God. God is trying to revive your interest again. God is trying to revive your interest again, to bring your attention back to yourself, to bring your attention back to your future. I'm already finishing this thing up. I'm summarizing the dependency phase of my life. I don't know what next. I don't know what next. Lord, help me sort it out. If you already know what next, go back and revisit your plan. Go back and revisit your visions. Go back and revisit your goals. Somebody by your side. hold somebody by your side. I want you to intentionally pray for your neighbor. And the prayer you're going to pray is, oh Lord, grant my neighbor direction. Let somebody else pray for you. Make sure somebody else is holding your hands and the person is praying for you. Lord, grant this person direction. Grant this person direction. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now listen to me. Let me tell you why you are praying the prayer you are praying. A number of you will likely do a lot of things, fail in need before you find exactly what it is that will help your life. You'll try this one, it will not work. Try that one, it will not work. Try that one, it will not work. Before you finally meet that one that will change your life. When you pray that God gives your neighbor direction, you waste all the time you spend in trial and error. God frustrates what will not work and open the door for what will work. Are you hearing me right now? God shows you exactly what it is on time. He brings you to a circle of people who their conversation, their discussion catches with your heart and then changes your life. In the next few minutes, pray for that your neighbor and ask God, Lord, grant my neighbor direction. Grant that person direction. There are some of you, one, two, or three things you need to do. We prepare you for the main thing you have to do right about now. Take your time and talk to God. Take your time and talk to God. Take your time and talk to God. This is destiny before us. We don't know how to reach out to it. All of us, there is money, there is wealth that God allocated to us. But there is somewhere He kept the money. There is in a business. There is in a business. There is in a vocation. He kept my own in ministry. I don't know where He kept your own. He kept my own in ministry. He may kept your own in business. You need to find where your own is kept. I can reach out to it. You need to find out where your own was kept. Lift your voice and pray intentionally. You need to locate exactly where your own is left. Where did they keep your own? Where is your wealth? Where is your resources? There should be no time for trial and error. Mistakes slows your pace down in life. Lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice and talk to heaven. For my friend, for my neighbor, with the invention, creativity, let my best mind open. Let the best mind open. Let you be surfing Facebook and meet that thing that will change your life. Connect with that discussion, that conversation, that discussion that will change the narrative in your life. Open your mouth, open your mouth. Some of you may need to start up a corporation, but this is that year. I can't end this year empty-handed again. No. I can't finish this year and my hands are empty. I should have resolved by the end of this year. I should be productive by the end of this year. Lift your voice and ask the Lord for direction. There is no money in heaven for you. If you ask God for money, what He will give you is direction. We have to go and get the money. Why? There is no central bank in heaven. Heaven don't print money. Heaven don't print wealth. What heaven gives is the power to make wealth. The power can come in form of an idea. The power can come in form of a direction. It's just an empowerment. The blessing of the Lord that causes things to change around your life. There is no money in heaven. There is money on earth. But you don't know where your own is. That's what you are praying for.
Now put your hands on your chest and ask the Lord, Lord, give me direction. Show me from what point to what point. Wait. Listen. Joseph at the age of 17 had a dream when he was going to be a king, but there was no throne in Canaan. Are you hearing me? Talk to me. Are you hearing me? The dream that Joseph had, he had that dream in Canaan. As at that time, Canaanite had no king because it was not a divine nation. There was no king. But Joseph was having a dream where he was a king. How he was going to find himself in a city that has a throne and he'll become a prime minister, he did not know. It was the workings of God. The workings of God. The directions of God. The influences of God. Let me tell you the prayer you're going to pray right now. The prayer is, oh God, I am handing myself. I am handing my dreams. I am handing my activities so that I will be led by you. The Bible says, it is those who are led by the Spirit. They are. The Spirit searches the deep things. There are wealth on earth. There are secret riches in dark places, in unseen places. There are places where wealth are domiciled. But if a number of us have not discovered it, let the Lord open your eyes to find it. Hagar was hanging around a fountain of water. Yes, she was thirsty. Hagar was hanging around a place. Some of you are in the quote. Multiple opportunities that will change your life is in this community. But yet, your eyes have not been able to see it. In the next few minutes, lift up your voice and talk to God. Ask the Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. I hand over my life for you to lead me. I bless to be led by you, Holy Spirit. I bless to be led by you, Lord. This is my life. I don't know the way. This is my life. I don't know the route. I don't know the path. But Lord, you can appear to me. You can show me the way. You can show me the path to the riches. You can show me the path. You can show me the path. You can show me the path. My heart will trust. My heart will trust. My heart will trust in you. My heart will trust in you. My heart will trust in you. Summarizing our days on campus, we need to know the way to go. We need to really get and find our bearings in life. To every one of them who is in service today, may their eyes and their mind open. May they enjoy ideas, wisdom, direction that will cause them to find their feet as long as life is concerned. In the name of Jesus, the works of their hands are prospered. In the name of Jesus Christ.